This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It is, as explained earlier, Mitch took the time out of his week to talk to Signer, about climate justice Taranaki. So if you want to know about climate justice Taranaki, now is the time. Here he is.
So the block offer is an annual thing that's been taking place for some time, but basically the government, the Crown, New Zealand Petroleum and Minerals, whatever you want to call them, comes out with a map of Aotearoa and defines which parts of New Zealand drilling companies can bid for to drill. You know, do seismic surveys at first, find out what's underneath the soil, if there's any viable oil and gas, then do production, you know, exploration wells, and eventually, you know, go into full mode production. So these permits that they're handing out to companies, and we're talking big companies, you know, there's companies like Shell that's been in New Zealand for a long time and others too. So those permits run for decades, you know, some permits run for 35 years.
Hang on, can I interrupt? So this isn't companies asking or applying to council to get permits. This is the government actually handing them to companies saying, have a look.
Yeah, so that's basically the process. So the Crown hands over permits to companies. Once the company is successful in a permit application, they have their permit for a long time. And to do certain work in that, you know, in that drilling program, they're then required to get resource consent. For example, if they're discharging into rivers, discharging into air, they would require, you know, resource management and discharge applications to a regional council. That's kind of the process, how the system is designed at the moment. It's very much designed in the favour of companies and not in favour of communities, the way we see it.
Yeah, definitely.
So the drilling in Aotearoa has been going on for a long time, but it's sort of been limited to Taranaki, where, you know, things that are at a productive stage. So we've got wells all across Taranaki, both onshore and offshore, that are producing commercial oil and gas, and that's been going on for a long time, and communities and hapu and iwi have been critical of that activity for a long time because of its implication on the environment. And what we've seen in over the last 10, 15 years maybe is you know, more activity, more companies, more drilling, more fracking here in Taranaki. So it's definitely scaled up. For a while, the price on the global commodity market was quite down, so there wasn't much of an incentive. Then the price went up, so there's more of an incentive for these companies to come to the deep South Pacific to do their dirty work. And so basically, you know, what companies want is, you know, legislative requirements that are easy to deal with, not much protest. You know, they want a smooth ride and a social license to operate. So the more, you know, on the environmental and social activist front who can get in the way, the better to slow these guys down. So as I said, on an annual basis, the government will announce which parts of Aotearoa are potentially opened up to these companies for further drilling. Now, the new government a year ago has, you know, made some big statements around climate change being really important. And we all agree with that, right? Climate change is the most important thing for our generation, right? So what they've said at that time is that they're phasing out offshore, new permits for offshore drilling. So that's great. You know, having said that, the existing permits continue, unfortunately, here in Taranaki. Yep. We have rigs out at sea that, you know, dig up oil and gas 24/7. But what they've also said at that time is that onshore Taranaki will continue as normal. So yesterday, the government came out with the new map for companies to bid on. It's basically all of Taranaki that's not already under permits. So the map's pretty, you know, it's pretty frustrating for those of us on the ground who've been, you know, working on this kaupapa for years, trying to stop these companies. I suppose some had hoped that this new government would, you know, take the necessary step and say, actually, what we want is no more fossil fuel mining, no more drilling at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not the case, you know, and we all know to have a stable climate, you know, the IPCC report that came out last year is very, very clear. We've got, what, 10, 11, or maybe 12 years to turn this ship around, and the last thing we need to be doing is looking for new oil and gas.
I mean, I'm pretty sure in the report it says that there can't be any more new oil and gas being brought out, eh? Can I just ask, because I haven't looked at the maps, but have they sort of almost in a way compensated for their reduction in offshore with onshore?
Not really. What they've done basically is just made all of Taranaki onshore available again to companies. So if you look at the map, so the only thing that's not included is the so-called national park.
Okay.
And sort of parts of New Plymouth and to the south, a bit of the south. So the main is it's the national park, the three mountains, Kaitake, Pauaka and Taranaki. And there's one more exception, that's Parihaka Pa out on the coast. Parihaka has been very strong in its opposition to the drilling and has for a few years been excluded from these block offers. Everything else is basically either up for grabs or is already under permits.
Yeah.
So that's the way the map looks at the moment.
Yeah. So, I mean, even regardless of the IPCC report, even for Carbon Zero 2050 or whatever it is, we're just not... I mean, they're still going to be operating by then.
Yeah.
Hey. So does this have anything to do... Well, is this different to, like, the blue hydrogen stuff that's been going on as well?
Yeah, good point. So the hydrogen is a whole other issue, although very much related, you know. I mean, and you know, gas is often talked about as if it's, you know, it's everyone needs gas because we need to, you know, have hot showers and do our cooking. But, you know, a lot of the gas in Taranaki, for example, is turned into urea, into chemical fertilizer that is then spread onto the paddocks to grow more grass and runs off back into the rivers. And then our rivers are, you know, full of nitrogen, and, you know, we then put more cows onto paddocks who emit more methane, which is even worse for the climate. You know, it's, and then you bring up hydrogen, which is, you know, suggested as a solution. But, you know, there's blue hydrogen, but there's also brown hydrogen. There's a proposal at the moment for a hydrogen plant in Taranaki, but actually it's a urea plant, a chemical fertilizer plant that also happens to make hydrogen. You know, the debate about hydrogen is we need to be really careful thinking we can just keep going as is and just replace one energy source with another one. You know, ultimately what's driving this is the economy. You know, our economic system that is designed for, you know, and eternal growth. And,
absolutely.
You know, how can you have eternal growth with finite resources?
Yep.
So
yep.
All that's growing is the bank accounts of the powerful and the rich, and the rest of us are left, you know, with a mess to clean up.
This is occurring at a central government level, hey?
Yeah.
So how does, you know, Taranaki Regional Council and the district councils, how do they come into it? Because they'd obviously be, the companies would be applying to those councils for their consents.
Yeah, so obviously there's different requirements for consent. So in Taranaki we have a regional council. They manage everything to do with the Resource Management Act. So any discharges, so say a company is drilling and at the same time they're flaring off some of the gas, and so they need a discharge permit for the flaring, or a company is drilling, there's produced wastewater that comes back up, they want to chuck that back into a river, they'll need a permit for discharging that dirty water. So that's managed by the regional council. Other things like noise, for example, or dust, that's then managed by the district council, or, you know, how many trucks, truck movements and things like that. So there's different levels of management by various authorities. But, you know, from our experience, it's been very, very smooth ride for these companies. I'll give you an example. Most people know now what fracking is, hydraulic fracturing,
mm-hmm.
which is when you pump a cocktail of chemicals, sand and water into the ground to fracture the rock to get the gas to come back up. Clearly, that's a discharge into the environment because you're discharging chemicals into the earth to fracture, to help the fracturing process. That's been happening in Taranaki since the late 1980s, and it was completely unregulated until 2011. So for two decades, these companies were fracking in Taranaki, and, you know, it's obvious that it's an RMA issue, right? It's obvious that it's a discharge, but there was no regulation, there was no oversight at all. Not only were they fracking with water, they were also doing diesel fracking, where they, instead of using water, they used diesel and chemicals to fracture the rock underneath the ground. So that's what we're dealing with here. It's, you know, that kind of cowboy mentality that this is somehow supposed to be good for everyone, but it's not.
I know this only came out yesterday, but do you know of any sort of resistance within the local councils to this movement or these permits and the block offer?
Well, there are some critical voices on the council, also in other parts of New Zealand. I was looking at some of the discussion down in Dunedin, I believe, where a lot of, you know, one of the companies, the Austrian company OMV,
yep.
wants to drill. They're also drilling in Taranaki. They're the biggest player, basically, in OMV.
Yep.
And a lot of the district councillors down there have been very vocal in their opposition to the proposed project of drilling off the Otago coast. In Taranaki, we haven't got that many, unfortunately, on the councils who are pushing against this. There's a couple, but yeah, it's it's hard going at times. And, you know, with a lot of us who have friends and whānau who work for the industry, that's the reality, you know. And that's why we support a just transition. You know, we support justice for these workers as well, because they're our family, they're our mates. But at the same time, we can't continue this. We can't say we want a just transition and keep drilling, keep the status quo, keep these permits going. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in terms of CO2 emissions, in terms of methane emissions, in terms of a stable climate for future generations.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Is there, for people listening and for people who want to get on board, are there channels that people can act through like Climate Justice Taranaki and things like that, that can, you know, advocate for stopping these permits?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if you're on social media, check us out on social media, Climate Justice Taranaki. But most importantly, get involved in your local community, in your local, you know, at your university, at your workplace. Get involved with Extinction Rebellion, join a community group and make some noise. You know, this is the time to be vocal and to be active on climate change, so that we can create a more just and, you know, a more equal society, and to say, you know, capitalism is not our future.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.